don't keep up with what's going on, we might be singing that song in His presence a lot sooner than I thought last week. I don't know if you're following this, but something to pay attention to with what happened, the events of last week. When one of those folks over there, one of those countries get mad, which they are very mad right now, all right, they slap the little guy next to the big guy. The United States is the big guy, okay? So what I would anticipate if I were you is that somebody is going to be slapping on Israel in the very near future, all right? Now, if you stayed with us as we studied through the book of Revelation, okay, in Scripture that is called Ezekiel 38 war, when Iran, Russia, and Syria invade Israel. And when I saw what happened last week, there is going to be a response to that. And I think that it's going to be against Israel, not against the United States. Because I don't think they're going to mess with us in these days. All right? I just don't think they will. But they, so pay attention, and if that happens, you'll know why, okay? All right. Let's turn over to Colossians chapter 1 this morning. And we are in the seventh part of a third point of one sermon is where we are, okay? If you're confused. We didn't get last Sunday's, the internet was down here last Sunday, so Luke didn't get that uploaded. Some of you have asked me about that today, and I don't know if we can fix that or not, but that's what happened. Wasn't us doing that. That was, we didn't have an internet connection for some reason last week. Verse 11 of Colossians 1. May you be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. We're continuing to listen now as Paul is praying for the Colossians. And he is praying for them that certain things would be the attributes of their lives. Not that they can work up on their own. If you want to file something away for reference, put that down, okay? What he is praying is not something that they can achieve by themselves. He's asking God to give it to them. You with me? And so already on several weeks, we have heard as he has asked God to fill them with the knowledge of God's will. Also, he has asked for them to have spiritual wisdom and understanding, i.e. seeing things from God's perspective and not from theirs. I would suggest that you grab hold of that one, all right? He then asked that they would walk. When you see walk, it means live. That they would live in a manner worthy of the Lord. Just trying to plumb the depths of that just spins me around. What can you do to live a life worthy of the Lord? And that's what he's asking for the Colossians. Also, he prayed, or is praying, that they would live lives that are fully pleasing to God. In other words, the fullness of their life, God would say, I'm pleased. And then he prayed for them that they would bear fruit in every good work. And we spent some time in John 15, if you were with us, where we identified the fact that there are two types of branches. One branch is attached to the vine. The other branch is not attached to the vine. The branch that is attached to the vine bears fruit. And if you are a fruit-bearing branch, you will be pruned by the owner of the vineyard, who is God the Father. If there is no fruit, you are not in the vine. That was the essence of. And so what Paul is praying for the Colossians, he identifies that they are attached to the vine. And therefore, he is praying that they would be bearing fruit. And then we heard Paul pray that they would increase in knowledge of God. And we looked over in Philippians there to get some help, where Paul says, that I may know Him, speaking of Himself, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And then last week we looked at to be strengthened. Paul is asking what we read this morning. To be strengthened with all power according to God's glorious might. As we're waiting for you to gather on a Sunday morning, Kelly and Andy and I have kind of a little Sunday school class back there at the back. And Kelly had to confess this morning he was angry when he left last Sunday because we started the 11th verse and we didn't finish it. And then it dawned on him we might well be doing that this Sunday, which is what we're going to do. All right. Well, this is quite a list, isn't it? A list of intercessions, of requests that Paul is making for the believers at Colossae. Profound request. What I want you to understand is that what Paul is praying has application, of course, to the Colossians. That's who he's writing to. But it has applications down through the ages for believers of all ages, for you and I as we're gathered here in his name. So what Paul is praying for the Colossians is applicable to us. If he were here today praying for us, he would be praying the same thing that he's praying for the Colossians. I don't know, I'm going to divide the crowd here a little bit, but in the early 70s, there was a book that came out. And it was by a Chinese pastor named Watchman Nee, N-E-E. And it just swept across Christendom. I mean, it's one of those books that God brought into my life, other than in the Word of God, that just galvanized me spiritually. And Joanne and I were married in those early years of the 70s. And I don't know, did you ever read the book? All right. That'll cost me lunch today. So, it's one of those things that just riveted. The name of the book was The Normal Christian Life. And Watchman Nee, and it's not a big book at all. And that book just set forth what God considers to be the normal Christian life. Well, that's what Paul is praying for the Colossians. These attributes are the normal Christian life because we are attached to the vine. That book's still available, by the way. I checked this week, and it's on Amazon for about $11 and something. So if you haven't read it, if you weren't around in the early 70s when it came out, which would not be many of us who were, but I guarantee you that's one that don't sit down and think you're going to read it in the afternoon. Okay, you might get through a page in the afternoon because it's just so galvanizing. So I'll leave that with you. Well, what he's praying for the Colossians is what I'm calling the normal Christian life. And this morning, to finish that verse, verse 11, Paul is telling us why he is praying that the Colossians would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Why are you praying that, Paul? What's the purpose of asking that of your Heavenly Father for the Colossians? Well, he finishes it. And he finishes with that prepositional phrase there, for all endurance and patience with joy. That's what he is saying. If you are going to have the endurance, patience, and patience with joy, it's going to be dependent on the power of God being given to you before that can be possible. Now hang with me today because we're going to wander in some places and you're going to get lost, okay? Kelly and Andy already got lost this morning when they were looking at this just among us conversationally, all right? So the reason Paul is asking that they would be strengthened with all power is so for all endurance and patience with joy. And I started this last Sunday afternoon after I got home, and I have to confess to you, I got up after a couple of hours and I thought, this is impossible. This is impossible. This is too complex to get a handle on this. And so I left for a while and came back and worked on a little more that night. And this is a demanding passage, is the best way to say it, folks. This one phrase there at the end is such a demanding idea to get our minds around. Paul's prayer describes how believers are to respond in the context of the world, the flesh, and the devil. You and I live in a sin-cursed world. It's not going to get any better. It's going to get much, much worse. But that's where we live. Now, we were born with a sinful nature. And we were born addicted to the lust of our flesh. Every one of us. Okay? And we were born into the domain that is ruled over by the prince of the power of the air, under God's authority. But Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So we are living, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, as believers, we are living in a world, in a context of the world, the flesh, and the devil. All right, that has to be established. The life that we can live and must live as those who have been saved by grace through faith and who are filled with the Holy Spirit now has jettisoned us into another culture. Stay with me, all right? And there are only two cultures. There's the culture in which we were born, all right? Sinful creatures, born separated from God into a wicked world controlled by the prince of the power of the air. That culture still exists. But when we received by grace through faith Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we then, and then filled by the Holy Spirit when we believed, then we were jettisoned into a culture, a parallel culture, if you will, with the culture that we live in. Now, you see where I'm going with this? Probably don't. All right? So, Paul is only talking to the believers at Colossae when he is praying that they would be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for endurance and patience with joy. What I want you to see this morning is the endurance, patience, and joy that Paul is talking about is not the same patience, endurance, and joy that the world is pursuing. All right? There is a difference. There is a difference. Because of the two cultures that are in play, and because you are a citizen of the culture of Jesus Christ, if I can say it that way, because you are in Christ Jesus, this means something entirely different than if you try to read it as if you were a member of the culture controlled by the world, the flesh, and the devil. What Paul is asking God for is far beyond human abilities. Don't leave here this morning and say, I've got to work on endurance. I've got to try to be more patient. Don't leave this morning and thinking, well, that was a nice little challenge for us to be have more endurance and perseverance. You missed it if you did. That is not what Paul is asking God for these people. And these people are in Christ Jesus, and if we're in Christ Jesus, we're like these people. The life that we're talking about can and must be lived only by those who have been saved through faith, by grace through faith, and filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, it is understood, and I fully understand, that endurance and perseverance and patience and happiness, I'll clear that up in just a minute, okay, can be experienced in the flesh. I kind of into audiobooks. You know about those? Okay? I didn't for a while, Kelly, is the reason I'm asking that, okay? And I thought, well, that's good. Don't have to read it, you know? That's pretty good. But anyway, I've been reading and listening to some podcasts that have just overwhelmed me in the last week. We had a little more time than usual, but And one of them I came across was by a guy named Frankl, F-R-A-N-K-L. He's a Jewish guy. And he lived, the book is older. I don't know the guy is still living at all. I'm sure he's probably not. He'd be up close to 100 now. But he was writing about his time in Auschwitz, the concentration camp, one of many concentration camps that existed during the World War II. And what he's talking about is basically kind of a day-by-day blow almost account of what was going on. And I got engrossed in this, and I was so fascinated by the fact that what he had to have to survive that was endurance and patience. And he lived with the thought that, the understanding rather, is how he described it, that his wife, he was a young man when he was put in this concentration camp, his wife was taken from him, put in a concentration camp for women, and so he is existing, but he said, you know, every day we talked. Now this is a guy that is surviving on a crust of bread maybe, and on some soup that if the SS guard who was distributing the soup took a liking to you, he would dip to the bottom of the pot to get the peas and rotten potatoes that were part of the soup. Otherwise, you just got the water and a crust of bread. And so he said, every day, he said, I would, we would talk, we being he and his wife. She's in another concentration camp. And he said, I would tell her how my day went and ask her about hers and I would share with her. I saw a sunset and we would talk about that. And he said, she was always with me. And he said, I realized that I would see her when I got out. Now at this time at Auschwitz, they're dividing the camp. You see, if you wheeled into a concentration camp that time, you looked for one thing when you got off the train car. Were there any smokestacks? If there were no smokestacks, they're not going to cremate you. If there are smokestacks, good possibility. When he got off the train in Auschwitz, there were smokestacks. And so daily there was a division. The people in this line went not to the smokestacks. The ones in this line went to the crematorium, the gas chambers. And so he said, I existed through my time there. I was able to endure because I knew when I got out, I would see my wife, we'd be reunited, and we could get on with our lives together. And this went on for 3 to 4 years. He found out after he did get out that his wife died 2 weeks after they were parted. It's fully possible for people in the flesh to endure great suffering. A number of you have endured and persevered through suffering with cancer and heart disease and family tragedies and all kinds of horrendously painful experiences. It's possible for people of the world culture to exhibit endurance and patience and to crave to be happy. But that's not what Paul's talking about. This is not a self-help prayer by Paul for people living in this life. And I'll proof text that for you in just a second. So Paul is not praying for the world's patience and endurance and happiness. His prayer is for the Colossians who are saved by faith through by grace through faith in whom the Holy Spirit lives. His intercession for the power of God according to His glorious might so that they could do that, is for kingdom citizens, not people who are a part of the culture of this world. Paul is asking God to give the believers endurance and patience and joy. And that separates the whole thing. If you want to put a happiness in there, you're missing it and you're interpreting it as this world. He is talking about patience, endurance, and joy in the context of kingdom activities. The kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the outcome of the endurance, patience, and joy Paul is asking God for will not be realized in this life. You see, those of the world culture are looking for the fulfillment of endurance, patience, and happiness in this life. And tragically, too many of you parents have that as a goal for your kids, that they'd be happy. And don't duck your head. I just want my kids happy. You know, I don't care what they do, really. I don't care what they become. I just want them happy. Stop praying that for your kids. That's free. The reason I can make this statement that the outcome of endurance, patience, and joy that Paul is asking God for will not be realized in this life is found in Hebrews 11:13. This is the chapter that some people call the Hall of Faith. Because he goes, the writer, whom I think is Paul, but if you don't, that's all right. It's never identified who is. But what the writer is saying there, okay, is he goes through person after person after person and describes what that person did and how they believe God. And then he comes to verse 13, and he said, these all, talking about all those people, names that you'll recognize if you stayed awake in Sunday school at all, these all died in faith, listen, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, having acknowledged they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Hence, the endurance and patience and joy he is praying for the Colossians, and I think applicable to all believers, is something that we will not realize in this life. Now folks, when I got a hold of that, or it got a hold of me, I guess I should say, everything changed. Everything changed. Those who are yet to believe, those who are not in Christ Jesus, those who have not been saved by grace through faith, those who are yet to believe may wait and endure and demand happiness in this world. And they do. And they do. And many people are enduring great hardship and they don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but they're just trying the best they can to endure. And they're working on patience. And their goal is happiness. That's the world, the culture. That's not the culture of the kingdom. Paul is asking for endurance and patience in trials and tribulations that are going to offer no tangible rewards in this life. That is where we have to get off the bus of this. Not expecting that it's going to get better. You say, well, gee whiz, you expect me to put some money in the offering box after a statement like that? I don't care if you do or not. Folks, this is not the end game. To make it through, to wait until, to be happy. That's the world goal set, not ours. Ours is realized, as the book of Hebrews just told us, will be realized. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them. We see them now through the promises of this book. But the promises of this book are for our life in His heaven, not now. If it is now, He owes a bunch of people an apology. All the martyrs who have laid down their life for Christ Jesus, which would include all the apostles except John. The millions upon millions of believers who are dying in this world right now, around the world. If it's all about this life, He owes them an apology. And these first century Christians, many of whom are going to pay for their faith with their very life, are not going to realize the answer to Paul's prayer for them. But they will. But they will. And they've seen it. And because they have seen it, it has given them the endurance and patience and joy to wait for it. Paul is asking for endurance and patience and in trials and tribulations that have no tangible rewards now. Now, I'm sorry you've been lied to and said if it's going to get better, you know. Heaven is not here. Heaven is there. This is a temporary place. What did he say there? Strangers and exiles on earth. That's who we are. There's a reason you don't fit in at work or school. It's because who you are in Christ Jesus. There's a reason why in the media outlets around this nation today that you and I are poked at and probed and ridiculed and cursed on a daily basis. It's because we're different. And we're only different because we're in Christ. And I want you to see that happiness was never a part of Paul's request. He didn't say happy. He used the word joy for a reason. Enduring and patient in the trials of being in Christ Jesus with joy. Consider Acts 41. We looked at this a few weeks ago if you were with us in passing. Acts 5:41 says, and then they, the apostles, actually it's Peter and John, left the presence of the council. They've been arrested. They've been beaten. They've been commanded never to preach or teach in the name of Jesus again. And when they let them go, they went away rejoicing. Rejoicing and joy do fit together. All right? If you're rejoicing, it's because you are filled with joy. They went away rejoicing. Listen, that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. That's what brought them joy. Well, let's explore real quickly a little further what Paul is asking of God for the Colossians, and I believe applicable to us today, if this is the normal Christian life, which I believe it is. And don't forget there are two cultures in play. We are strangers and pilgrims in this land, in this world. The world's endurance or perseverance, that's a word that can be used interchangeably, I believe. The world's endurance or perseverance, you see, includes an exit ramp called quitting. That is contained in the world's system. As they would persevere, as they would endure, it is possible for them to quit. You with me? That, I believe, is another distinguishing characteristic between the endurance, patience, and joy that you and I have as kingdom citizens as opposed to the endurance, patience, and joy, happiness of the world. Folks, there is no quitting. There is no quitting. I don't care how tough it gets. There is no quitting. It is not a part of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. You can't quit. Get your mind around that. If you are born again, eternity means you're His from that point through all eternity. You with me? He got a hold of you. You didn't get a hold of Him. And because He has a hold of you, and He said, I will never leave you or forsake you, He's not letting go. You can't quit. Folks, if you can quit, you're not His. You with me? Now that gets up close to where we live. But that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the world always has that exit ramp of quitting when it comes to endurance and perseverance. The endurance Paul is asking for is endurance for as long as life is given. There is no quitting. Jesus taught us in Luke 9:62. Listen to this. Jesus said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Can you say it another way? There is no quitting. The world's patience is impulsive. We will not ask for a show of hands, but I know that several of you mothers especially, as you are going through your day, have said something to the effect of, you better stop that, I'm about to lose my patience. Haven't we? Folks, the patience that Paul is talking about is not patience you can lose. The patience Paul is asking for is absent impulsiveness. For the believer has resigned to the will of the Father and patiently waits and trusts Him regardless of the circumstances. Do you see why Paul was asking God for this for the Colossians? Because it was something that they could not pull off in and of themselves. It was dependent on the power of God being given to them. That's why those two fit together. And then finally, we've already ran over this probably, but the world is not seeking joy. The world is seeking happiness. And happiness depends on circumstances that appeal to the flesh. Die to wanting to be happy, okay, today? Would you do that, believers? I think the days in which we live are more and more going to demand. And we will more and more be separated from the culture of the world. And some of the folks that we heard about already this morning are experiencing that separation in many parts of the world. You see, the reason I know Paul is speaking about the culture of Jesus Christ is because the joy of the believer is the fruit of the Spirit. Those nine attributes that Paul talks about in Galatians 5. He talks about the works of the flesh. Then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. We dealt with that when we were dealing with bearing fruit, if you'll remember. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Right? We'll stop right there. We won't go on. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. The fruit of the Spirit can only be born by him or her in whom the Spirit lives. And if the Spirit lives in you, you are going to bear the fruit of the Spirit, one attribute which is joy. The world cannot have joy. The world can only pursue happiness. And therefore we do not pursue happiness because it's of the world. And we are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is joy. That's one of the reasons that I knew that Paul was not praying for worldly patience and endurance and joy for the world. The joy of the believer is the fruit of the Spirit. So verse 11, may you be strengthened with all power according to His might for all endurance and patience with joy. The power of God is absolutely necessary if we are to possess those attributes. The power of God is the only way that we can have the endurance and patience and joy he's talking about. Now, file these away, okay? I want you to consider these with me. Galatians 6, 9 through 10. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are the household of faith. Now what's going on there, okay? We are strangers and pilgrims, but we're still living here. All right? So we are now responding to the world based on what we have been strengthened with. And that's what he's talking about, I think, in Galatians. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are the household of faith. Then Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In Romans 8, 28, if you've memorized any scripture at all, you probably had this on your list. This is from the ESV. And we know that for those who love God, and we know for all those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. Do you see why we can live a little bit of heaven now and endure and be patient and be filled with joy? Because we know what's coming. And then Romans 5, 2 through 4, through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand and we rejoice in hope, there it is again, of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. Listen, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. The word cannot be clearer. There is a culture of the kingdom, and there is a culture of the world, and everybody in this room is in one of those cultures. And it's a different behavior set depending on which kingdom you're a part of. So how is it possible to consistently live the life for which Paul is asking of God? Only by being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. That's the only way you can pull it off. So don't get a belated New Year's resolution that you're going to be more patient. Or you're going to go out and you're going to persevere. Or you're going to be happier, or any of that. You can't pull this off on your own. That's why Paul is asking this for the Colossians, that they would be strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. And that power comes only from the indwelling Holy Spirit. This is that normal Christian life I introduced us to just a minute ago. This is a life, listen, not based on our effort, but our resignation. The only effort that we have in this is our resignation. That is called lordship. And when you came to Jesus Christ, it was on a Lord and Savior basis, not a Savior basis. Lord and Savior. Lord means that He is in charge. He's the boss over everything all the time. Savior means He covered all of your sins. He came as Lord and Savior. And if that is the relationship you have with Him, then you can hope for the endurance and the perseverance, same word, and the patience and the joy that Paul is asking of God for the Colossians, and I believe for all believers. The demonstration through the continual habitual pattern of your life is going to verify that you're in Christ Jesus. If He is your Lord and Savior, if He has saved you, if He is the one who filled you with the Holy Spirit, then the continual habitual pattern of your life is going to be one that looks more and more like Him on a daily basis. Do you see? You cannot be filled with the Spirit and be the same old, same old. You cannot be filled with the Spirit and fall away or backslide or whatever terminology you want to put in there. It's an impossibility. Because of He who lives in you. And He's not going away. This new life began for you with justification. The absolute rebirth of one who receives God's grace through the faith that He has given you to receive it. Justification is followed by the process of sanctification, whereby we live based on who we are in Christ Jesus. And more we are going to look like Him. And finally, in His time, the end result of salvation is that we are glorified and will live eternally with Him in a glorified body. And we know that from our study through Revelation, if you were with us. Paul knew all of this. He knew all of this experientially. He'd experienced it. He knew all of it inspirationally because of the Holy Spirit who inspired him. And now Paul's passion was that the Colossians would know what he knows and what he's experienced. And that's why he's praying for them as he is. Evidence of knowing Him is living with endurance and patience and joy, regardless of the experiences of this world, anticipating the fulfillment, His fulfillment in His heaven. So I'll close with this question. I always try to deal with this on an individual basis. Don't look around, okay? Don't thank your wife or your husband or somebody you know at work or anything. Only, let's deal with this individual. Are you daily experiencing the normal Christian life? When you get up in the morning and you begin your day, is it a day that would be described as the normal Christian life?